It's not how many people see, it's who sees it that is a right person for you, right? That one person can bring you 100 clients for all you know. So I got to the point where my husband's like, you know what? Like, I know you're not in the mood to be on social media or whatnot, but like, just post it because you never know who might need you. So the reason why I started loving Google reviews and Google search so much was because when I traveled to Europe, I was trying to look for things on Yelp, and they don't have Yelp over there, mind you. So I was like, wait, how am I going to find, you know, good places to eat and stuff? So Google was it. And I'm like, well, if I'm trying to attract people worldwide, I need to be worldwide.
Oh, that's a good point. Google is awesome.
Welcome to
The Beauty Boss Confidential.
My name is Ren, and I'm a beauty blogger, new mom, makeup artist, and owner of my own makeup academy in Atlanta, Georgia.
My name is Nalani, and I'm a cosmetic tattoo artist and instructor. I run a busy permanent makeup studio and academy in Atlanta as well, and also manage a small team.
We're two modern women
trying to juggle it all,
from building our empire
to being a wife
and navigating being a new mom,
all while making time for ourselves.
We're here to share with you the behind the scenes
of what it's really like to run a successful beauty business,
from marketing to business strategies
and trying to find that perfect work-life balance.
Let's dive right in.
Hey guys, it's Nalani here, and I just want to mention that before we get into this interview, we did have a little bit of an audio issue towards the end, but we had such great content, such great conversation, so I need you to stay with me, okay? So let's get into it. Hey Beauty Bosses, it's Nalani back with another episode. I am so excited today. I finally get to interview another permanent makeup artist, and I wanted to branch out to other permanent makeup artists because I'm really big on community versus competition. And I wanted to highlight, I met Miss Cindy View at a few conferences, and I just remembered her being really nice and very sweet. And we kind of kept in touch on social media. So I invited her on this podcast because she is very successful in a very highly dense area. So I kind of want to pick her brain on how did she make herself stand out and what it's been like for her during COVID. So without further ado, go ahead and talk about yourself a little bit, girly.
Thank you for having me on here. I'm so honored and I'm so excited to be here to share my experience and share my story with everyone. And yeah, like you said, we've met like at a couple different conferences and you've been awesome. And I feel like that's just how the brow community or permanent makeup community is within the artists. We're just all so helpful and so like nice towards each other. So if we have any issues, you know, we're all supportive of each other, which is what I love about this community. So I've been doing permanent makeup, or I got into permanent makeup about 5+ years ago. And the reason why I started doing it is because I wanted to get into something that was creative, had art, but then also felt like rewarding. I've always been a creative person, having like engineering background. I've always wanted to just continue to do that. When I did my first class, I fell in love with, you know, just the concept, and then working on my first model and all, I just kind of fell in love with interaction with people. So yeah, that's how I started about 5+ years ago.
So first of all, where are you from? I know where you're from, but tell the audience where you're from.
I'm from Orange County, California.
Yes. So like the mecca of permanent makeup.
Of permanent makeup of, yes. And then also, so when I first learned, I learned in Los Angeles, which is like the mecca for beauty. And
yeah.
Plastic surgery, and it was so it was pretty big over there, and it's getting a lot bigger here in Orange County now too.
So geography wise, I don't know why I associate Orange County with Los Angeles. You know, I am from Atlanta.
Right.
I lived in Cali, like Northern Cali, actually, till I was 12 years old in Sacramento. But as far as like Southern California, so
just so we're clear, OC, for everybody that does not live in California, OC is not considered LA. It's like a separate thing, right? When you say OC, does not mean LA. LA is LA.
Yeah.
We're like about like 30 minutes away without traffic. And yeah, it's not like LA. So I feel like it's definitely very different.
Oh, okay. 30 minutes is not bad.
So no, it's not bad, but it's definitely a different type of vibe.
Okay.
It's a little bit more. I feel like it's a little bit more chill here in OC than LA. There's nothing wrong with LA. LA is a whole, like, you have to be in a whole type of high over there. I feel like every time I'm there, I'm like hustle, hustle, hustle. You know. So yeah.
Okay. So now that I have a better understanding of that, so. I guess to me, like, Southern California is like so saturated with brow artists, and you're very successful. And I know that over there, it's just like, I have thought about expansion, but I love California. I love the food. I just love it. Southern California. But when I think of expansion, I get kind of scared.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my God, there's so many great artists out there. Like, how would I fit in with that?
You know? There's just so many people here though, and everyone has their own style. So everyone, I mean, you just have to have your own niche, I guess you can say, where clients will go to you for your style of art. You know, so you just have to continue to work hard and just stay in your own lane pretty much.
So just pretty much have your own style, design, and clients will come to you based on your own style.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So in Atlanta, we were actually one of the first states to open up. Literally in Georgia, our governors shut down for the stay-at-home shelter, I believe, end of March, but this fool opened the entire country like 3 weeks or opened the entire state like mid-April.
Wow.
And it was like 3 weeks into it, and we were not like, you know, Montana where there wasn't any cases.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad here. So I decided to open up my studio May 11th. So about 2 months after, because I was just not comfortable. So now I have been following California, and I know that in San Francisco, they I don't know what's going on with them. I was just like, man, how do y'all deal with this? Like, how is it like for your business? Kind of give a brief timeline on what happened as far as shutdown and reopening, and how did you adjust? Like, what did you do during that time? But we'll start with like the timeline first. Yeah. So
I still remember till like it was yesterday on March 14. I was working on a client, and then I started getting all these messages from students like, hey, did you hear about so-and-so having, you know, we're going to have to shut down. And I was just like, I know there's other counties that have shut down, but I didn't hear anything about Orange County. And then I just remember talking to my client, telling her, you know, you might be my last client, you know, for a while, just jokingly telling her that. Little did I know we were going to be closed all the way until August. So August was when we could reopen, but when we reopened, our governor decided to close it down again a week after.
Wow.
Yeah. So
why?
It was just like a high rise in numbers with COVID numbers, so they had to shut us down again. But it was only like a certain like pretty much like tattoo parlors and beauty industry we had to close, but like restaurants and other essentials and stores and stuff, they were able to open. So it was just like, you know, depending on what fields and you're in, you know, you could open or not. So it was tough because when we got the news when we could reopen, we were rescheduling everyone. And then when we rescheduled everyone and they told us we had to close again, they never told us when we could reopen again after that. So at that point, we just kind of like stopped scheduling people, gave up a little bit. I was like, you know what? We're planning on just being closed for the rest of the year after that. Wow. Yeah. So I already had plans on just not even seeing anybody until 2021.
My god.
But I have four other artists that work for me, so it's hard. Not everyone can just, you know, not work. Like, people have families to feed, which I totally get. So I have artists that were still seeing like people here and there when we reopened again slowly, but it wasn't like a full-time thing for everyone again. It was just like everyone still going back slowly because, again, everyone just assumed we were going to close until 2021.
Wow. Yeah. So right now, October 2020, you guys just started opening?
Yeah. So officially, we just started seeing people beginning of October.
Okay. Yeah. So you were shut down for about 5 months the first time around and 2 months the second time around. What did you do with your time? I just want to know.
I watched a lot of Netflix. No. I actually did my whole like teaching manual all over again. I just like redid everything. My website, I redid everything. I actually have a couple other projects that I'm working on with other business partners. So I kept myself pretty busy.
Yeah. Do you think it was a blessing in disguise for you because of all this extra free time you had? Like, I don't know. I know for me, like, as a really busy permanent makeup artist, it's like I just need like one day to catch up with background stuff. But let alone one day didn't mean 5 months. But did you feel like it was a blessing in disguise and sort of in a way?
I felt like it was because I felt like it was much needed time to reflect on what was really important for my life and for my family. Just because I was working so much, I feel like I'm a workaholic, but I love what I do. So it was nice to have that balance finally to where I was like, okay, I really need to focus on other things because, you know, what if this is not like forever where, you know, they shut us down for a while again? Like, I need to be able to have other things to be, you know, busy for, I guess. But it was nice to be able to catch up on everything, my emails, messages from students, because I had a lot of students that had this time to practice and they practiced a lot, which is good because then now they're ready. They're really ready to like take on clients, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like it was nice. Like, I didn't feel like it was too much or too long. I was like, yay, more vacation time for me.
Yeah, I guess that's staycation, right? Since we couldn't leave. So being that you had such a long break, I know a lot of people were reverting to more of an online-based business. Did you feel like you had to pivot the permanent makeup world, your world, to more of an online business? And because I personally did feel a little bit of pressure to be like, oh my gosh, I need an online class. But then I'm just like, well, wait, I don't want to work on a model because they might have COVID and I can't film, you know? So I was just like, you know what? Let me just do the online class at my own time and let me just not jump on that online bandwagon. Did you ever have those feelings?
Or yeah, I mean, living in California with all these great artists around me too, I feel like everyone has their own online course now. And for me, it was just like, I definitely felt that pressure because I'm like having people message me like, okay, so now since class is canceled, can we do online? Is there any way you can, you know, switch it to online? So-and-so. So for me, I felt like yes, there was a lot of pressure, but I wasn't even ready myself. Like, I wouldn't even know who to go to in order to record it the right way. I'm just so picky with everything that I do, whether it's like the pictures that I post or the people that I'm surrounded with. Like, I just, it just wasn't the right time for me. So I'm definitely holding off on any online teaching and courses right now. So for me, it's definitely more beneficial for trainings to be in person.
Yeah, especially the beginner's training. I definitely agree. Yeah. I know personally for me, I did feel some pressure and I was just like, oh my God, I have all this time. But you're absolutely right. Like, for me, I am super picky on what I do as well. And I didn't want to launch a class just because of someone else's deadline. Right. So I was just like, you know what, let me take a step back. Like, why am I doing it? If I'm doing it, if it's my first one, I needed to do it the right way and how I wanted to do it with no limitations on who can be in the facility. Right. So I definitely went through that as well. So basically during the 5 months that you were quote unquote off, you really had time to work on like strategy and operations and things like that. Right. Is that something that you're going to implement like right when you open, or did you come up with this like great idea? Did you have any pivotal moments and any aha moments during that time?
I had a ton. I mean, I feel like I have it every day. It's hard for me to keep up with my notes. But right when we reopened, I already started training. She got my new training manual. It was just like, it was a brand new start for me. So I felt like it was so much needed because it was a reset for what I feel mm-hmm. like students could really use and what other artists out there could really use. Just because I was able to pretty much intake all the notes that were taken in the past and input it to where I can integrate and, you know, give to my students now. So,
cool.
Yeah, it's very rewarding. I feel, you know, I feel like the classes have just, the two classes I already did have been amazing so far. So I really, I'm glad that, you know, I was able to redo all that.
Yeah, so you do quite a bit of a lot of training. Is that correct? Do you do more eyebrows?
Yeah, or so I do just more focus more? On, strictly on eyebrows, and it's all private trainings now due to COVID and CDC mm-hmm. regulations. And plus, my students all get models, so it's only fair that it's only one student at a time.
Mm-hmm. So prior to COVID and private trainings, like, being also a trainer like yourself in California, there's so many academies. Right. what's your strategy on getting students? And do you feel like you compare yourself to other yeah. trainers? Do you have, you go through those motions?
I used to go through those motions, but I feel like it was just hurting myself. So I just tried to focus on myself and just be original and just kind of, you know, offer students what you know. Like, I mean, students are people are coming to you because they like either your work, your personality, just your style. So for me, I don't see competition anymore. I pretty much just try to better myself. I even still take trainings and go to seminars till this day just to make sure I stay updated with everything so that I can provide the best for my students and the best for my artists that are there for me and with me. So I don't really fear competition. If anything, it's I'm happy that there's a lot of trainings out there, which means there better be good artists out there now. Like, there shouldn't be any lack of, you know, good work, I guess you can say. Like, I shouldn't see anybody coming with bad eyebrows trying to have me fix them anymore. So yeah,
that's a really good point. So I kind of want to dig in that a little deeper. So you went from someone who maybe feared competition a little bit in the beginning. So how did you kind of train your mind to not be fearful of that anymore? Can you take me back to that time when you completely was just over this like feeling of anxiety of like, oh my God, am I not good enough? And you start comparing yourself, because I really want to reach out to the aspiring artists right now. You train and I train in Atlanta as well. And sometimes people ask me, they're like, why are you training people in Atlanta? That's competition right. for you. And I'm just like, it's really not. Like for me, I guess I can answer my own question and you can dabble in as well. But for me, I feel like once I establish that abundance mindset, like there is enough to go around for everybody and everybody could right. win, then it really helped shift my mindset. So was there any kind of mindset shifts that you experienced back then and to help you really embrace the industry a little bit
yeah,
more?
Yes, it's really just surrounding yourself with really supportive people who love you and admire you and admire your work, I feel like, and just being around that type of environment is really gonna help. Just because I felt like I was so in my head and I'm so hard on myself sometimes, I don't see what other people see. So when you, I feel like when you hear it from somebody else, in my opinion, it was I guess I kind of like got out of that little bubble of mine where I was just too much in my head. Because for me, it's just like I have to consider the end game. What is my goal out of this? My goal is to be able to help clients, help students, educate people. It's not just to like, you know, yes, we're going to make a lot of money and we're going to make great money, but it's more so educating people and letting them know like why, what makes this different, what makes this so great now. And not everyone is going to know that, because at the end of the day, like you'll still have a student where, you know, yes, they might have gotten training elsewhere, but when they come to you, they'll still pick up something they didn't pick up elsewhere. Everyone has their own style of doing things. And for me, I feel like you just really need to get out of your head and just go for it. And if you're really passionate about it and just keep working at it, people are going to see that, and they're going to, you know, you can't cover those things. Like people are going to see it, and they're going to be inspired to want to learn and go to you. Yeah.
Got it. I want to take you back to when you first started off being an artist. Were you scared to get started?
Yes, I was so scared. I started out as a project manager at a structural engineering firm. I worked with engineers all day. I was the only girl there. It was a very, very stable job. But I would come home crying every day just because it was such a man's world, in my opinion. So corporate industry is not for me. And I've always felt like I've never been that type. But going into it, I was just like, I love being able to see things being created. So I wanted to get something, you know, get into something that was also creative, but then where I also got to show my art side. I was fearful because I'm like, what? I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, pay my bills. And if I were to just do an eyebrow here and there, because when I first started, I was only doing like one or two a week, just because that's all the time I had. But I realized like if I just invested more time to myself and more time to the actual art, then I would be able to grow that. So I had little goals for myself, from doing one to two clients a week to try to maybe do one a day. And then one a day became, you know, three, four a day. And that's usually from, you know, working on clients and having those clients refer you because they love their eyebrows so much. And my clients were my walking advertisements. So it was, I felt like it was easy for me to build clientele when I was able to, you know, give them amazing, you know, give them my 100 and my amazing work and just get my name out there that way. So it was hard for me to leave, but I was so happy I did because it was so rewarding.
How long do you think that it took you to have a solid book of business?
About a month.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
About a month. But mind you, when I first started, it was like microblading. They're like, what is microblading? And I was posting on Instagram and I would hashtag microblading and there would be like 1,000K. Because you know how you could see however many numbers of tags there are? There was only like 1,000 plus, you know, microblading. And now when you search up hashtag microblading, it's like over 2 million. So I felt like I got into it at the right time.
Yeah. I mean, a month is pretty, because it took me, I feel like it took me a solid year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that a month is really good.
I've always been, but like just having little goals for yourself and just, I guess, target points of what you want to reach, that'll help kind of overcome. And it'll just, I feel like it'll get easier and easier.
So I want to fast forward. So now that you became this established artist, like at what point did you feel like you were ready to train other people?
Only about 2 years ago. Just because I've always had, for me, I've always had social anxiety. I know that sounds weird because when my clients come in, I can talk all day. And when I meet new people that come into the office, I can talk all day. But when it comes to like public speaking and things like that, it was hard for me to like get out of my head about, because then I'll get really nervous or whatnot. But about 2 years ago was when I was just like, you know what? I need to do it, because I just had so many different artists with doing the same mistakes over and over, where I was just like, you know, you just need to change this one thing. And it was just like career changing for them almost. So it was an epiphany point where I was like, I need to start training because these people are going to need it.
Right. So you were already doing brows for about maybe 4 years then before you decided to train?
Yeah.
3 years, 3 years.
And then it's funny because when I was doing brows, I'll even see like some of my clients, you know, because, you know, when you meet your clients or whatnot, I start following some of them on Instagram. Some of them would even start training in brows. And I'm just like, why, you know, if people are like that ballsy, I guess, to just go up and I guess start doing things, like, I feel like I have enough experience under my belt to be able to start training too, if, you know.
Let's kind of get into that a little bit. Like, how do you feel about those like one day training classes?
I'm not going to knock on it because I feel like if you can pick up something from it, then that's awesome. Because
for a beginner.
That's going to be hard to say, just because as a beginner, you're not going to have a lot of questions, obviously, because you're not going to even know what to even ask until you actually work on someone. So for me, I feel like it's so important to get that hands-on experience so that you can understand what you're actually, you know, what you need to be asking. Because yes, you can learn the same technique and skill or whatnot from one person, but what if you're in a different environment? What if your clientele has different skin, whatnot? Like, how do you determine, or like, what do you do at that point, right? So for me, it's just I don't know how I feel about it, just because I feel like just as long as you learn something and you're getting something out of it, I'm okay with it. But as a beginner, I would say, you know, if your instructor, just make sure that your instructor can be there for you to answer a million questions after. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Lifetime support. Okay. I like that answer. It's like, sometimes I feel like people knock someone else's hustle, you know, and we definitely don't need to shame anybody's hustle. Like, we are all out here trying to make it. So definitely love that answer. And it kind of shows you where your headspace is at. So now I want to get into the juicier stuff. And of course I did my research, and of course I came across Lil' Kim and Janae Aiko. So I do want you to kind of brag about yourself a little bit. I mean, those are major names.
I don't
tell
me. I've never been the type to brag or like name drop or anything like that.
I'm giving you permission.
But one of my many celebrity clientele that I can mention, I guess. They found me from word of mouth and then social media. So word of mouth and then finding my social media, seeing my work. Their assistants found me, actually. And then from there, just, building that connection with them and them being my lifelong clients.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying you deal more with celebrities than you post then?
I deal with, I mean, I've done over 5,000 procedures, so I can't post every single one of them as well. A lot of my clientele are private, and a lot of my clientele are from, they're like either executives, you know, certain big business owners, whatnot. And a lot of them find me through Google, surprisingly. I feel like Google. Social media is a very small percentage of my clientele. While the rest is more so from Google. So the reason why I started loving Google reviews and Google search so much was because when I traveled to Europe, I was trying to look for things on Yelp, and they don't have Yelp over there, mind you. So I was like, wait, how am I going to find, you know, good places to eat and stuff? So Google was it. And I'm like, well, if I'm trying to attract people worldwide, I need to be worldwide.
Oh, that's a good point.
Awesome.
Yeah. So because you don't like to brag or name drop, Like, tell me more. Like, why is that? Like, most people will be all over that. Some people aim to be celebrity brow artists, or it's like they couldn't wait to post. And I know sometimes working with celebrities, like right. for privacy reasons, right. they don't want to be posted. So tell me, like, why is it you don't want to? Why does that not
just entice because
you,
I feel like I guess? My relationship with my clients are definitely more important than I guess. Bragging about it or trying to get clientele that way. Mm-hmm. I feel like people were to see my work and they love my work, they're going to want to come to me no matter who I've seen, right? And I feel like, okay, so mm-hmm. the only person I do brag about a lot is Kim, because I feel like she's my sister and she's like my best friend. So I see her quite often and, you know, she's okay with me, you know, bragging about it or telling people about it. But other than that, like, I feel like with everyone else, it's nice to have that private relationship to where they can trust me and they can come to me whenever they need to. Where, you know, they won't have to worry about like, oh, she's going to tell so-and-so, like, you know, I'm not all natural or whatnot.
Got it. And I love how you just say Kim. Like, yeah. you know, not little Kim, like the rest of the world. Yes. I love how you just say Kim. So that's amazing. Well, that's amazing. I love that humble spirit that you have. I can definitely sense that your purpose is actually bigger than you. I do listen to a lot of like podcasts with like self-help and motivation and things like that. And I find that when people find their purpose that's bigger than them, their right. ego never gets in their way. So I definitely sense that kind, you know, gentle spirit about you. So I won't dig into that topic anymore. All right. So the next question that I have for you is that how do you deal with the competition in Southern California?
There's so many great artists around me, but everyone has their own style still till this day. I mean, even if you were to learn from that same artist, you're always going to do your work is always going to look a little different. People are also, for me, the way I handle it is trying to better myself and just focus on my work and my craft, and then also my artists that are at my studio with me. When you ask like handle competition or like deal with it, I actually don't deal with it. Uh-huh. I don't even see competition. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yes, love that. Yeah, I'm like, you're just focusing like, on yeah, your
so
own
when you
lane.
Say like deal, I just really don't deal with it. I just really focus on myself and it's really nothing to deal with, if anything. It just, I have my blinders on and I just continue to work hard and make people happy, I guess, giving them beautiful mm-hmm. brows, creating future boss babes and just having fun with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the answer to that is yes, that you're just unbothered. You're unbothered. Okay, I love that. And I guess in Cali, like especially Southern California, right. there's a lot of people, right? So there's
so many people here. So many people travel here for beauty needs, for fashion, for everything. So there's just a lot. And I talked about this a couple years ago when I met you, because you were thinking about coming here, and I was like, do it. You know, you're so good mm-hmm. and you have such a distinct style that people are going to love and they're going to want. There's a saying where it says build and they will come, and it will happen.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. Maybe one day when all this COVID stuff goes away and you know, life is so crazy here in Atlanta. Now that's going to my next question. So on the podcast, I like to spotlight boss babes, like independent women who's doing their thing, who's making a name for themselves, who's unapologetically ambitious. Like, I love just talking about that. However, finding the balance, and I hate using the word balance because right. I feel like we will never right. achieve it no matter what. Now, with you running a super busy permanent makeup studio, a thriving academy, and servicing your clients, how the hell do you find time to relax? Like, what do you do to relax, and how do you manage your professional schedule and your personal schedule?
So I'm pretty lucky to have such like a loving husband who's so understanding with my schedule. And I mean, he's just as busy as well. But at the end of the day, when we come home, we make sure that we spend time and talk about our days, whether it was good or bad, or like what our goals are the next day. We always talk about what we're trying to achieve the next day. So just having a little bit of time with your family and turning off everything for even just like an hour really makes a big difference.
Now, are you off
on
weekends?
I'm only off on Sundays. Yeah. So I started taking clients Saturday. I stopped, and then now I started again, you know, just because we reopened and I'm on that high again. So Sundays are my only days off.
Okay. And are you in the studio in pretty much like all day? I'm just trying to gauge like how other permanent makeup artists do it, because I definitely did not have a mentor. I just kind of like went with my intuition and
I feel like you definitely need to give yourself a little bit of time, whether it's going to get your nails done for a little bit or just going to get a massage weekly. I started getting massages weekly because I just like burnt myself out. You don't want to burn yourself out. So you really have to block off at least like 1 or 2 hours a day to just a little bit time for yourself. Maybe do some yoga and stuff.
So it seems like you're more motivated again. You needed that break. Now, what can you tell aspiring permanent makeup artists right now that's going through it? Like what advice can you give them?
Don't fear larger, meaning like established competitors, I guess you can say. People who are out there that are already doing it big, don't fear. I feel like so many artists are so scared to start small, and they're so scared to show people that they are starting because you look so small, right? But you need to start somewhere to be able to build. So if you just focus on your end goal, everything will work out in your favor. I'm very big on manifestation. So if you just manifest it, it will happen.
What can you give aspiring trainers or somebody who is starting to train other people and they're just like struggling with getting students and things like that? And then you see these other artists who are selling out big conferences with like 500 people. Like, what can you tell aspiring instructors that might be a little discouraged
now? Just continue to do what you're doing and just stay focused on bettering yourself and just maybe try to find what makes you different from others. Because yes, there are a lot of trainings out there, but try to find what makes you different from others and what you can offer where maybe they can't offer, or, you know, post more about your classes. I never thought about that question.
I guess I'm asking it for myself.
Why? I mean, you're doing so great. You don't need that.
You know, you have this, Cindy. You're overachiever. Right. You just want more, more, more. Sometimes I forget. This is me being completely vulnerable and honest. But sometimes you forget to celebrate. Yes. And I always try to celebrate the small victories. But it's kind of like, you get on scrolling rampage and you just start that algorithm on Instagram just puts people
makes
that
people feel
are,
like
you know,
you're on some kind of you're on a time crunch where you need to be on this level pretty much, which I can get where it can get a little bit too much. So if you need to think about, it's not how many people, I guess, how many people see, it's who actually sees it that matters. Like that person, that one person that you might really inspire that you don't know that really needs you. I feel like that one person matters more than a million eyes that don't really even know. Do you know what I mean?
Girl, you're giving me like Oprah feels right now.
Because every single time I have like a class, a student will be like, oh, you know, you've done this for me. And it's just like, you don't realize it. It's, you know, because what you're comparing yourself to is numbers when you're on Instagram. you're just counting at that point, like counting eyes and likes and all that stuff. So that really doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's just like, you need to just continue to do what you're doing, because another girl is going to look up to you and she's going to need you.
Oh, well, that's really sweet.
Well, I hope that helps.
You're like the brown mother. It's like, I get all the feels. I get all the feels right now. But so like, so the theme I have from this entire conversation is that I feel like, in essence, you're like, just stay in your lane, focus on what you can offer, figure out what will make you different from the rest, and just put blinders on and focus on your craft versus like numbers, likes, followers, or clout, comments. Like, I really feel like you're artist, like, no doubt about it. You have celebrity clientele that you don't even talk about, and to some people that's what they use, because, you know, in the beauty world, I know people exchange services for a shout out, and knowing that, I don't think you do that. so I see that there's, you know, it's a different marketing tool that people use by getting celebrities to come in and give their service for free, and then they end up with like 500k followers. Like, I get the vibe that you're like really not about that. Like, you know, sometimes I do see you don't post for
days. I don't post for months, girl.
And correct me if
I post for like 6 months, and my husband's like, are you okay? Like, do you not like doing brows anymore? Like, I'm like, what are you talking about? Have you seen my photo album? And he knows my schedule. So it's just like, sometimes like with social media, it just gets way too overwhelming for me, where I feel like you start to compare, and then, you know, it's just not good for the soul, I feel like.
It really isn't. Now, that actually makes me very curious. You're able to stay busy without the whole social media like algorithm. You're not playing that game. So
I said a lot of it has to do with Google and word of mouth. Like, my clientele list is just so powerful. It's like all about word of mouth and referrals. Like, all my artists right now, they're busy from my referrals. Mm-hmm. So it's not how many people see, it's who sees it that is a right person for you, right? That one person can bring you 100 clients for all you know. So you keep posting what you want that person to see, so that they find you. Because for me, I felt like I was just I have so many pictures and so many videos of brows. It gets overwhelming for me to even look at my own album to even want to post that one certain one. So I got to the point where my husband's like, you know what? Like, I know you're not in the mood to be on social media or whatnot, but like, just post it, because you never know who might need you. And that's what made me like, okay, you know what? Just forget it. Like, who cares what people think of that girl's one pimple or whatnot? Her brows look great. Like, let's just post it. Because I'm all about what you see is what you get. If you look at my photos, I don't use filters. I don't use anything like that. It's just like all lighting. So,
well, amazing. This conversation is much needed. Like I said, I don't have a squad per se in Atlanta. and I came from a makeup artist background. So I did have like a makeup squad, but since I made the transition, being in the bra world here is so
sometimes. Makeup artist background, did you feel like your makeup artist friends like wanted to do brows too? Or like, what did they think of you transitioning to the brow industry? Or like permanent makeup industry?
You know what? They're not doing eyebrows. Like, they never wanted, like, they're not. So they either went off to do product, you know, like product development, or they opened up their own makeup studio, or a company of their own, like a beauty box or things like that. They actually, they haven't transitioned from makeup to brows. There are a few, but not to the point where I thought it was going to be, just because it's a little bit more lucrative than doing makeup. So I think sometimes people fear of like, oh my God, it's so permanent, because I went through that as well, you know? There's actually in Atlanta, there's really not a huge rush for makeup artists. Now, I have been out of the makeup game for a really long time, like maybe 6 years or so. So I don't know about.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many different makeup artists. You know what I mean? Like, we're always going to have that thing where we're like, oh, it's so saturated, or there's just so much. But then there's always that one person that you think of when you're in that industry, I guess you can say. So it's, I don't know. It's, I feel like, for me, I feel like there's enough for everyone, right? When it comes to beauty. A beauty industry is just going to continue to grow, especially in a time where it's just, we're in a sad time right now. People want to feel good about themselves somehow. Even whether it's getting their nails done or getting their brows done, getting their lashes done, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I actually had somebody ask me like how business has been, and it like booming. So I feel like I don't want to say like permanent makeup is like a a recession proof industry. I don't know, but I feel like as women, being a woman myself, I feel like if I want to look good, like I'm going to find a way to make sure
I get my Botox, stay looking good no matter what situation I'm in.
Exactly. So I really feel like the beauty industry is here to stay. Do you agree with that?
Agree. And I see it more and more every day, whether it's like from my clients or my students. But when I haven't even announced that we fully opened yet. But even before then, like months, people were contacting us like, can we just come in? Like, we just want something done. It was just insane. And I told my sister, and I'm like, you know what? Like, it's just a sad time and people want to do something. Even though it might be little to someone, it's big for that person where it'll make them feel better about themselves.
I definitely agree. And the whole like traveling aspect, like I love to travel, but because I really can't go to the places I want to, I'm just like, I just got to, you know, do some sort of therapy. And I definitely have found myself shopping a little bit more and going to pamper myself a little bit more during these times.
Online shopping, all that has skyrocketed.
If anybody's listening right now and have reservations of getting into the beauty industry, I feel like lashes, brows, skin is really in right now. Getting your makeup done is going to be just here to stay. And women, I feel like everybody is on an elevation of having nice eyebrows. They can't revert back to having bad eyebrows. Like if you have bad eyebrows, you're going to be the friend that your friend looks at. Like, why haven't you got your eyebrows done?
Well, I don't know who goes out anymore. But if you were to go out, you'll still see a lot of people with bad eyebrows. Like I'm telling you, there's just so much.
I know. And then
Another thing is not a lot of people are on social media anymore too, because the reason why is it might be because of wherever they're working, or maybe they're just trying to unplug themselves from that type of world. So you need to have other outlets for people to get to you. So you can't just depend.
That's
on,
a good point.
You know, Instagram, Yelp, whatnot, like have other outlets where they can find you.
That's a good point. I'm definitely taking notes on that.
Literally, looking into Google. I came back from Europe. So, like, what am I doing? I'm thinking too small. Yes.
Love it. Well, hopefully one day this will end up on Netflix. So I so appreciate you taking time to speak with me. Although we had some technical difficulties, I appreciate you staying with me, and I'm so excited to launch this episode to the entire world. So I am so thankful for your time and you speaking knowledge. I definitely
appreciate you
having today,
me.
So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And if there's anything else you want to say to everybody, is there any question that I didn't ask, like your final thoughts?
When are you moving to California?
Oh gosh,
no, I really want to visit Atlanta. I've never even been, and if you're saying everything's open, then I might even consider going there soon.
Oh my God. Pretty much everything is open with some restrictions. I personally have not been like out and about because I'm not completely 100% comfortable yet. But if you're wanting to go out to eat, but I know that you have so many good restaurants in the OC, definitely can't compare Atlanta to the cuisine in California. But yeah, definitely come visit if you ever do a, you know, a layover. I'll definitely like show you out. So, and I would love that because I need another permanent makeup artist here with me to like
uplift. Well, you always have me.
Each other, so I will be.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, for everybody that wants to stay connected with you, tell us where they can find you on all your platforms and things like that. So,
well, you can find me on Google, everything. Beauty Elements by Cindy Vu. You can also find me on Instagram, Beauty Elements OC. I also have my other Instagram handle. It's Ms. Cindy V, M-Z Cindy V. And Yelp, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Square. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so she got her hands in everything. Yes. She's like making sure she's not going anywhere. All right. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in for another episode of Beauty Boss Confidential. I hope you guys were able to find this episode very insightful like I did. It's always nice to hear from another boss babe, especially a permanent makeup artist boss babes, because I know that there's a lot of permanent makeup artists out there listening right now that just needed to hear exactly everything you said. So
thank you for having
me
again.
I'm so excited to hear this episode.
Thanks for joining us on the Beauty Boss Confidential.
If you love this episode, go ahead and screen record your favorite part and tag us on Instagram. I'm Nalani at BeautyBot.
And I'm Ren at Makeup by RenRen.
We would love to hear from you.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And please give us a 5-star rating and tell all your beauty bosses.
Thanks again for tuning in.
And we'll catch you next time.